Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, do you dread anything? Is there anything in your life that you just truly, authentically dread?
On a sort of permanent basis?
Yeah, like in a day in, day out kind of a thing. Or even in a on a very short term scale. Like, are you dreading our move from the 15th floor to the 11th floor here?
No, I celebrate it.
Celebrate.
A new beginning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a positive way to look at it.
Well, yeah, I think you just, we're going to release ourselves from the shackles of the past, whatever that means. No, for me, it's more, I don't dread that. It's more like I'll have these sort of clouds of existential dread every once in a while.
Yeah.
Meaning that it could be the most beautiful day with this clear blue sky. Everything could be going right. But somewhere in the world, I feel like, there's this general unease about something not going well, possibly in the future. So for me, it's not usually a defined dread. Mm. What about you?
Dread. Well, yes. We discussed in Paper Tigers. It's easy to begin to have these fight or flight fears about things that have no power to really harm us. Like when I was going through a lot of paperwork for adoption, or every year with taxes, I get that sense of dread. I've got to do this paperwork, and it's going to be dreadful on some level, and I feel like it's a physical threat to me. But of course it isn't. And if I stop to analyze it enough, I realize, no, this is not necessarily life or death.
Yeah, but I was thinking about this, that we have been trained, at least here in the United States, in various ways to dread something awful happening to you. And it begins at a young age. We're taught to anticipate these various tragedies, whether or not it's a hurricane or a tornado or some other sort of natural disaster. Mm. How about the whole, stop, drop, and roll?
Yeah.
All the sorts of alarms and emergency routines that we go through. And that's good because that helps prepare us.
You need to be prepared. And so we'll have very real-life examples of that where if there's a fire, you stop, drop, and roll. And then we have in our fairy tales and the stories we tell each other and the fictions, I mean, by the very nature that you need the narrative to be engaging, it's fiction, it's storytelling, you need there to be a threat. You need something to happen that is bad so that the characters can navigate through it, around it, or what have you. So people wander into the woods and they're abducted by witches, and witches try to cook them. Things of that nature happen as a means to try and remind children, hey, don't go walking into candy houses just because they're made out of candy. You might wind up being eaten by a cannibal woman.
Right, stranger danger, really,
yeah.
What we're talking about. So you do have to create this database of dangers in order to better survive, but then you have sort of this minutia of minor threats or perceived threats or just stand-ins for threats that
yes.
aren't really dangerous, but they begin to take over in your imagination more real pressing threats. And that's where this idea of dread anxiety and in some ways just generalized anxiety disorders take over.
Well, stranger danger is a great example of that because on a very basic level, yes, children need to be on guard. They need to stay around their parents. And there are individuals out there who will harm them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, statistically, they exist. However, if you go overboard and you start thinking that every stranger is a danger, if you start, even as a culture, begin to just go on like a nonstop witch hunt of potential people who are a danger to children, then you get into an entirely weird and problematic area.
Well, let me layer one more thing over that. Then you begin to read things like, it shouldn't be a stranger that you're concerned about because the majority of abductions take place by people that you actually know.
Yeah.
And so you have to sort of reframe that conversation with your child. So what the point is that there's all these sort of real and perceived threats that just pile up one on top of the other, where as humans, particularly in the day and age that we live in, when there's so much data in front of us, you have to sort through it and try to figure out what you truly should be anxious about. And sometimes the wiring gets crossed.
Yeah. Which brings us to something called general anxiety disorder or GAD or as I like to read it, God. And so, general anxiety disorder is severe ongoing anxiety that interferes with your day-to-day activities. We're talking about symptoms such as panic disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, other types of anxiety that kind of get sucked into the fold, and they're varying different levels of this condition.
Yeah, and it generally involves thoughts of uncontrollability and unpredictability of upcoming personally salient events or shift in attention of our inability to cope, memory of negative aspects of certain events and negative emotion. And people with this disorder, they can't relax, they startle easily, and they have difficulty concentrating, and a lot of times they have a hard time falling asleep and staying asleep. And the National Institute of Mental Health says that the physical symptoms that accompany this include, of course, fatigue, headaches, muscle tension, muscle aches, difficulty swallowing, trembling, twitching, irritability, sweating, nausea, lightheadedness, and having to go to the bathroom frequently, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Now, luckily, it's very treatable for the most part, via medications and/or therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily a permanent life condition, but it's like you say, it's these anxieties build up in our lives. I like to think of like a cave with stalactites and stalagmites forming till eventually they're just all these sharpened cave teeth everywhere and they can be cleared out, but you've got to sort of stop and have some sort of level of self-awareness either come out of you or have it imposed upon you to realize what's real and what's not.
Well, and I think the reasons why they can, even if you brush them away, they continue to build back up is because at the very heart of this is this knowledge that one day we will all die, right? This is,
every last one of us.
Every last one of us. So this is that sort of, I always think about it as this sort of double-edged blade of consciousness. You know, like, it's great that you're conscious. We humans are conscious and we can enjoy so many different things. At the same time, we realize that, you know, our time in our physical bodies is going to come to a close, right?
Yeah. And that, you know, there's a very good chance that the last few chapters of that book might be a little less happy than the middle ones.
Right. And everything beyond that is the great unknown. So it's sort of, you know, that's a lot for a brain, a conscious brain to sort of take in.
Even as you pick it apart, which I sometimes do, and I, you know, remind myself, well, death everybody does it. Everybody who's ever lived has done it. Yeah, everybody's doing it. And look at some of the people who do it. There couldn't be that much to it, right? But so on one hand, you can sort of dismantle it like that, but then you remind yourself exactly what it entails. Not just a mere cutting off of life, but a, well, in some cases it's that. But in other cases, a decline of life, and a decline of the quality of life that terminates in this abyss.
Well, I was thinking about probably one of the best films that deals with this topic. And for me, it's A Serious Man by the Coen brothers.
Great film.
It's probably a little bit bleaker than some of their films, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's probably one of the Coen brothers' films that's easier to overlook.
And just in case you're listening and you don't know or have a context of this film, it is kind of a slow-mo existential train wreck of this character's life. His name is Larry Gopnik, and he gets a clean bill of health. This is how the movie starts out with. And then everything just kind of falls apart from there, and every relationship in his life falls apart, which is, again, this sort of dread that we all have. Like, are we tending to this person? Is this happening? Is this, or is the machine still moving along in the ways that it's supposed to? And for Larry Gopnik, it doesn't. It begins to fall apart. And he even begins to receive angry calls from a Columbia Record Club debt collector, which I think is really brilliant, because if you've ever been plagued by anxiety, then you know that these minor infringements from your past are things that bubble to the surface every once in a while that you worry about. So this, you know, past record club collection calling him and nagging him is a nice stand-in for that.
Yeah, I mean, like we've discussed the power of closing loops in your life, and how an unclosed loop is instantly at least a pinpoint of anxiety in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's a great example, because the Columbia Records is not going to come and break your thumbs, you know?
Maybe.
Well, it depends. It depends which Columbia Records. If they're actually based out of Columbia, I don't know. But But yeah, it's totally a paper tiger. It's totally a closed loop. An unclosed loop in anxiety working on this character.
I'm glad you brought up the loop thing, because that's something that we can talk about later in terms of trying to, you know, keep this anxiety disorder in check. Mm-hmm. But I think we should talk about how America is a very anxious country, it turns out, and that Americans really suffer from anxiety disorders more than any other culture in the world.
Yeah, because you think about what sort of has become the, I don't know about the predominant, but a very common American story, and I imagine you have this as well as I. Well, what happened in your life? At one point, you moved away from your parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you move? You moved to the big city, where you're surrounded by people, but you're less close to any of the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have maybe your spouse and or your child with you, but then you increasingly you have all this social media creeping into your life, and this becomes the means by which you connect to other people, and then meanwhile the families that you moved away from, they may be across the country, they may be on, you know, in some cases they may be on the other side of the globe, and so we're more and more distant from people, and we're more cut off.
Yeah, that's true. And I just wanted to point out that according to the World Health Organization, that the United States has something like nearly a third of the Americans suffering from anxiety problems in their lifetime. So a third of Americans will suffer in their lifetime. And the National Institute of National Health says that in any given year, 19% of the population suffers from anxiety. Between 1997 and 2004, Americans more than doubled their spending on anti-anxiety medications like Xanax and Valium. So that industry went from $900 million to $2.1 billion. So what we're seeing here is this idea that our anxiety has not just always been an American thing, but it tends to, or we tend to see an increase in it over the last couple of decades. So, as you had mentioned, you know, there are a couple of factors to that. One is just sort of chasing that job around various different parts of the country and resettling and losing some of the connections to your family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is that you have an increased amount of data and information, but it's more in the way that it's presented. And I was thinking about this because I've been rowing at the gym a lot lately, and this I find to be a very zen activity. It's great. But then I'll look up at the TV, and at the ticker at the bottom of the news program will have some sort of horrible thing about some child, something just unimaginable happening to this child, just running over and over again.
Yeah.
And so again, it, you know, the way that this information is presented and consumed by us sort of adds to that feeling. Because here I am feeling like, oh, I'm imagining myself on a lake rowing, and now I'm thinking about a dead child.
Yeah, I've never understood the need to have that kind of ticker going on in places like a gym, where shouldn't the focus be on you know, getting out of my head and getting into my body? Like, why am I watching this horrible news? Or I've seen the same TV sets blaring over jacuzzis and or within earshot of a sauna. Like, this is why there? Oh, and then, of course, the big one is airports, you know? Like, I'm very much of the mindset that we need to have, if the TVs are on, okay, have the TVs on to distract people, but have it tuned in to kittens and puppies playing. Have the audio, just have it be Brian Eno's music for airports.
Nice.
We don't need to watch ticker tape about, you know, child murders, train wrecks, plane crashes, and what have you. It just seems like why continue to sprinkle, that kind of horrible topic?
Well, it is inescapable, and as Taylor Clark in the article, It's Not the Job Market from Slate Magazine says, a lot of this is reported in a fear-based fashion. So it's not balanced in the sense that, you know, the good-natured stories tend to hit the news. It's usually the ones that are bleeding and awful that get our attention.
And being part of that is the virtue of the 24-hour news cycle. You got to find something, you got to put it up there, and then you got to milk it for everything it's worth.
Now, Taylor does say that compounding this is an intolerance for negative feelings. So Taylor says, we reject situations that could make us feel discomfort. We try to bury or reverse our feelings through shopping, alcohol, or drug use, or entertainment. And psychologist Stephen Hayes, who uses an acceptance and commitment therapy rather than drug therapy, or maybe he uses it in conjunction, said Americans are victims of feel-goodism, the false idea that bad feelings ought to be annihilated, controlled, or erased by a pill. So some of this is that idea of this pursuit of happiness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all entitled to be happy, and if we're not happy at this very moment, something is wrong.
Yeah.
And not feeling settled with that discomfort that everybody feels.
Yeah, well, it comes back to, you know, the idea of balance in one's life, you know, that, and to get, you know, to dip my toes in a little Buddhism here for a second, you know, it's the idea that it's from the human realm. It's from this realm of peace that one is able to ascend above that cycle of suffering. It's not from an extreme of pain and worry. It's not from an extreme of happiness and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are both kind of, well, not really dead ends, but those are not the extremes from which liberation lies. It's through this middle ground and an understanding that those are extremes, that when I'm happy, and when I'm having just an awesome time, that cannot be the norm, you know?
That's
not sustainable.
Right.
And if you try to sustain it, it's like stretching a rubber band. You're going to crash down to the other end of the hallway.
Now, there are some other factors. According to Rutgers University researcher Judith Seabare, poor mothers are more likely to be classified as having the mental illness of anxiety disorder or generalized anxiety disorder because they live in poverty, not because they're suffering from a psychiatric disorder. And so that's where some of this area gets, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit gray, because there are some people who are predisposed genetically to have anxiety disorders.
Right.
And then sometimes it's just the environmental factors that are pressed upon you.
And so both nature and nurture, to both environment and genetics playing a role here.
Yeah. And what I thought was interesting about this is we already talked about how in the United States in particular, migrating from one area to another is pretty typical. And so we don't usually have the support systems of our families or our communities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of us do. Some people have lived for, you know, their families have lived for generations in one area. And some people, you know, like in Atlanta, for instance, this is the great transient city, have lived here for only 5 years. And so they're still putting their roots down. But if you have had a huge economic loss in your life and you are a single mother, then it would make sense that you begin to have these sort of anxieties creeping in at all times, because one of the basic bedrocks of your existence, your access to healthcare or food, is jeopardized.
I was thinking about this a lot when I was, me and my wife were recently in China,
mm-hmm.
To adopt our son, because, you know, over there we had really good guide in the city of Nanning, and her name was Jane, and she was taking us on. She'd point out things about the culture while we were there, and as she pointed out, you'll see a lot of grandparents with the children during the day, because, you know, it's very, you know, family-wise, very conservative culture, And so the grandparents will live with the family, mm-hmm. and then they'll look after the kid during the day while the mom and dad work. And at the same time, we're thinking, oh well, here we are alone, in this country, and we're about to get our son, and then our grandparent units are on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've positioned the center of the earth between us and them. And even when we, return home, those grandparents are still in cities that are, 4 or 7 hours away.
Well, see, and that's really interesting because that's a discrepancy. That's a reason why in some third world countries you don't see these anxiety disorders being as prevalent as in the United States, even though the conditions, and the access to food and healthcare could be far worse than in the United States because they have a support system in place.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will discuss Tylenol and anxiety. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, we're back, and we're about to lay on some information on you guys about Tylenol, about emotional pain, and David Lynch.
Yes, this is, in case you were wondering, is there a study out there that involves, dental procedures, prostitutes, the fear of death, and David Lynch's rabbits?
Why, yes, there is.
Yes, we have that study for you.
First, though, I wanted to mention that we have talked about emotional pain and physical pain being processed basically by the same circuitry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fascinating to me because it turns out that they're so closely related that if someone, say, hurts your feelings or there's some other emotional pain that you have, It literally does hurt you in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably you're not sitting there feeling as though daggers are in your skin, but
that's the sort of Looney Tunes vision of it. It's like they stab me in the back with that statement.
You know,
it's like,
yes,
you pierced my heart when you said that.
Your brain is taking that as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And, this was particularly poignant when we were talking about the teenage brain.
Mm-hmm.
And why when you're a teenager and, if you feel like you're shunned, it feels like the end of the world. And it's not because a teen is being dramatic. It just turns out that part of their brain is more amped up and they're getting many more signals from their brain that they're threatened.
Yeah, because it's very much about attach yourself to a group, find your place, because that's survival. Even though that model doesn't necessarily make as much sense in a modern sense, in an organism level sense, it works.
It does, right? And researchers are really looking at this whole physical pain and social pain and looking at some of the same chemicals and neural processes that they share. And so these conditions really are kind of two sides of the same coin here. And so they have struck on this idea of Tylenol, not so much like, hey, let's use Tylenol to really dial down any sort of anxiety, dread, or emotional pain, but more in the sense of let's look at Tylenol and see how it's working in conjunction with emotional pain.
Yeah, it's more about by giving Tylenol to the subjects in this experiment, we're able to highlight the connectedness between physical and emotional pain. So, do we want to talk about this study?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you do if you are Daniel Randalls, a doctoral student in psychology at the University of British Columbia? Well, what you do is you get 120 college students,
mm-hmm.
and you randomly assign them to take either 1,000 milligrams of a Tylenol brand acetaminophen or a placebo, you know, a sugar pill, and that's the control group. And then one group of participants you instruct to write two paragraphs about what would happen to their body if they die and how they would feel about it. And then the others you ask them to write about dental pain, which, according to the paper, would not be unpleasant but likely wouldn't invoke any existential anxieties,
mm-hmm.
which I take some issue with, we'll discuss. But and then all the students then had to read a hypothetical arrest report about a prostitute and set the bail on a scale of $0 to $900. And then finally there's some a viewing of David Lynch's rabbits.
Yeah. Tell us more.
Have you seen rabbits?
I haven't seen it,
yeah.
But the still that I saw from it seems just in line with every other David Lynch film that
yeah.
I've seen, in which there is a human with an animal head on in a domestic setting. And from what they describe in this study, the domestic setting is made even eerier by the fact that not only is there a rabbit-headed human standing there, but there's a soundtrack that is very foreboding, and there are sort of these non sequiturs that are said by these rabbit humans that have no context, and then a laugh track that accompanies them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was so brilliant about this is that Lynch is so good at sort of bringing up these very vague notions of unease,
mm-hmm.
and actual just like wrongness.
Yeah.
That he's the perfect choice for trying to exacerbate this condition, this
anxiety.
Yeah, 'cause
you don't want to show a video of somebody like just hitting themselves in the knee with a sledgehammer. I'm
no.
sure that art film exists somewhere.
Yeah.
This walks the line in a very possibly effective manner.
So from my understanding, they were made to watch this clip and mm-hmm. then sort of weigh, again, their reasoning in terms of death or even what sort of punitive damages these prostitutes would pay, right?
Right. So what's interesting here is looking at the way that Tylenol is affecting their emotional response, their anxiety level regarding physical pain in terms of this dental procedure that they're supposed to write about, in terms of the notion of inevitable physical death, and also their possible empathy for this this prostitute, this hypothetical prostitute that's been arrested.
So, of course, the people that took the Tylenol, well, they didn't seem to be as bothered by this idea of death. And they weren't as, I guess you could say, maybe their value system for the prostitutes were a bit kinder, and they didn't feel like they needed to pay as much as their counterparts who took the sugar pill. And their dental pain, they didn't feel was, you know, quite as awful as they had imagined. So, I mean, that's telling you that this Tylenol is sort of what they think is that it is taking this emotional pain processing and recasting it for people. And perhaps they're not feeling it as much as they would have if they hadn't taken it.
Now, again, we have to underline once more, don't go taking a lot of Tylenol expecting to treat your own anxiety levels.
I wanted to also point out that, as the researchers pointed out, this is not something that they said, oh, take Tylenol if you have anxiety. This was just, again, them trying to figure out how Tylenol works on the brain with emotion, and a large amount of Tylenol can actually lead to liver problems. There's a whole host of other things.
You don't want to go down that road. Now, I do disagree with them about the whole idea that, oh, and thinking about dental pain is not going to cause you any kind of existential dread. Because I tend to find quite the opposite, that if I think about dental pain, if I think about dental procedures, then I'm inevitably thinking about people getting older and people aging and the long certain road to death. I always come back to Tina Fey's quote that the mouth dies first. You know, that as you get older, you suddenly find yourself realizing, hey, I actually have to work a little harder to maintain everything in this cavity that is so damningly close to my brain and my center of being. And then you end up having to get these procedures, et cetera. And I find that it is a center of existential dread. That I can dial down if I think about it enough and realize, all right, well, there's plenty of stuff I can do, and you know, it's just a matter of establishing a plan and following it, and trusting in your healthcare procedures that they're possibly more interested in maintaining your dental health than selling you a bunch of junk.
Well, I think that most people, when they think about going to the dentist, they know that there's some mild discomfort, right? They might have their, you know, gum lines bleed, so on and so forth. But for other people, like maybe you and I who have had procedures, it really is, there's a lot of angst. Because for me, going to the dentist is finding out that you have a problem, but then they go in and then they find even more problems. So it's like, you know, I'm peeling the onion and the existential dread of, you know, are we ever going to get to the bottom of this awfulness? Now you're erecting a tiny village in my mouth with all sorts of materials.
Yeah, and the feeling like if I do everything you say, I'm still going to wind up having to get something done. You know, maybe other people are different. You'll have to write in and let us know about that. But I find it kind of an area of existential dread, possibly confounded for me personally, since my deceased father was a dentist. So I probably have some additional baggage loaded on that train as well.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I wanted to point out that a second experiment of 207 participants in this same sort of structure where you have the Tylenol and you have the sugar pill and you have David Lynch and this time you have the Simpsons as the control, was shown to those 207 participants. And after watching the clip, the students looked at footage from the 2011 Vancouver hockey riot sparked by the Canucks' loss in their bid for the Stanley Cup. And they were asked how harshly the rioters should be punished for vandalism. And again, those who took Tylenol before they watched Rabbits, the David Lynch film, seemed to feel more lenient, as did all the students who watched The Simpsons.
Huh.
So, you know, it's good that they checked that out again. Again, this is, you know, this idea of Tylenol and emotional well-being, these are early studies. There are not a lot of them. So it'll be interesting to see.
But it does cast some interesting light on the connectedness of physical pain and anxiety. It casts some interesting light on how anxious people behave towards other people. You know, their how it affects their empathy and their severity in judging others.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I read about trickle-down anxiety. And there's a small study of parent-child pairs that was conducted by Johns Hopkins. And they looked at the relationship between anxiety-ridden parents and their children. And they found that parents with particularly social anxiety disorder are more likely than parents with other types of anxiety to engage in behaviors that put their children at risk for developing angst of their own. And we're talking about 66 anxious parents and their 66 children ages 7 to 12. And they had to do this activity together. And what they found is that using a scale of 1 to 5, that those, again, those kids that had the parents with social anxieties were criticized a lot more during this act. The parents expressed a lot more doubt, and then the kids sort of took that on again. So they were, again, trying to get to the bottom of, you know, how much of this is nature and nurture, and, you know, how much of this do we actually pass on to our children? The other thing about anxiety, besides just being, you know, very uncomfortable and for some people debilitating, is that for some people, particularly women, older women, it may shorten your telomeres. Now, telomeres are those DNA proteins at the end of the chromosomes. And it's really important because telomeres, the longer you have them, presumably the lengthier your life will be.
Yes.
Or at least, you know, the less disease you may end up having.
Yes.
Which would be great because presumably you would live longer if you had less disease. So a study by researchers at Brigham and Women's Hospital showed that a common form of anxiety known as phobic anxiety was associated with shorter telomeres in middle age and older women. And that suggests that phobic anxiety is a possible risk factor for accelerating age. So we're talking about blood samples from 5,000 women, more than 5,000 women, ages 42 to 69. And they used those samples and they analyzed the telomere length as well as the participants' concurrent self-reports regarding their phobic symptoms. And, you know, this is a story, again, that these environmental factors in our internal states are going to affect the way that our body responds and how healthy it can be. So, again, this is a small study, and this is just this one group of women from those ages. But I think it's very telling on the sort of damage that sustained anxiety disorders can do to our bodies and minds.
Yeah. Fear is the mind killer. All right. So we should probably – everyone's thinking about anxiety now. We've been talking about it all through this podcast. So you're probably pinpointing examples of anxiety in your own life. So we should probably try and send everybody home semi-happy and discuss some basic methods to cut down on the anxiety in your life. Let's start with just talking about the body itself, fear in the body, anxiety in the body. What can you do to bolster your physical response to anxiety?
Well, we already know that when you are feeling anxious or stressed, that your breathing patterns change, mm-hmm. and they're essentially telegraphing to your body, hey, there's a problem here. So gaining your breath and becoming aware of that is hugely important. And we've talked mm-hmm. about that in terms of meditation, yoga.
Yeah, stopping to breathe. Any kind of basic breathing exercise out there, and there are many, they can have just, I don't know about phenomenal, but they can have very noticeable effects on your immediate level of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Some basic stuff here, just sort of mom kind of stuff. Eat right.
You know? Mom stuff.
You know, eat balanced meals. eat some things that are good for you, not just junk food. Avoid alcohol, nicotine, sugar, and caffeine because, you know, we're talking about things that depress or stimulate the body. Again, mm-hmm. I was talking about that hallway. On one end of the hallway, there's worry and fear. On the other hand, there's happiness and crazy excitement. And in the middle of the hallway, that's where the peace is. That's where the balance is. And you're not going to maintain one extreme without ricocheting back to the other. So when you're taking these, I'm not saying don't, drink alcohol or don't have a cup of coffee, but know that you're skyrocketing yourself in one direction or the other, and you're potentially turning into this ping pong ball of anxiety zipping up and down the hallway. Exercise is great
mm-hmm.
For a variety of reasons, including, as we mentioned earlier, getting out of your head and into your body. You know, there's if you're straining yourself into a pose in yoga, or if you're punishing yourself on the rowing machine at the gym, then as long as CNN isn't on in the background, there's a good chance that you're going to be able to get out of your mind and get into your body. Taking care of yourself, getting a good night's sleep. This was something that I really woke up to on the adoption trip
yeah.
when we came back, especially, and everybody was jet-lagged, including the toddler, of course, is that if you don't have enough sleep, everything gets crazier. And it's something I already knew from our podcasts and our research, but really drove home for me that if you don't have enough sleep, then the anxiety is really going to crank up. And then also finally consider that hormonal changes may be occurring as well.
Yeah, that's true. And think like a British person.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. If you're an American listening to this, not someone bury it all down, but this idea, and you already kind of touched on this, is that happiness and extremes are not sustainable. And so if you look at a culture, if you look at the UK culture in terms of the pursuit of happiness, that's not quite as rabid as it is in the United States. Mm-hmm. Like the expectations are a little bit more pragmatic in terms of what we should expect for ourselves.
Yeah, don't buy into the product that most commercials are selling you, saying you can be happy all the time with this product.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go. We've discussed anxiety, general anxiety, dread in your life and the lives of those around you. Hopefully we've forced you to, at the very least, sort of turn the camera back around and look at anxiety and sort of get some perspective on it in your own life and realize a little bit what's going on there. And, you know, maybe we even covered a few of the tools you may begin to use to correct it. But if you are experiencing this kind of general anxiety that we've discussed, if anxiety is really playing a debilitating role in your life, even just a little bit, do consider getting some sort of professional help. Go to a doctor. Tell them what's going on. You know, don't feel like you're alone in this, and this is just a personal battle between you and your demons.
Indeed.
All right. So, hey, you want to get in touch with us? You want to talk about anxiety, about fear, about dread, about all of these things? You can find us in all the usual places. StuffToBlowYourMind.com. That's the mothership. That's where all our blogs, videos, podcasts, etc. may be found. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Stuff to Blow Your Mind on all of those. And you can also find us on Mind Stuff Show for our YouTube clips. And, Julie, where can they find us for a good old-fashioned email correspondence?
You can send that to BlowTheMind@Discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.